Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to the Gospel Pulpit for Tuesday, April the 21st. Let's don't go back to March. April 21st. Amen. And boy, the Lord is good, ain't he? I praise the Lord for what God is doing and how God's just blessing us. And we're talking about our Reaching America with the Gospel Project, and we launched that. I've been praying about a year and a half, and we was able to take a station in Omaha, Nebraska, KLNG, on. And we're going to be able to pay for that for the next year due to the gifts of God's people. And we're not on the radio for your money. We're just asking to get the gospel out. 586,000 people, market-wise, that have the potential listening to this station. And then we've got that station's been paid for. Now we're working through the end of April trying to get the money now to go to Tucson, Arizona, and get on that station. That'll probably be the next one the Lord would lead us to go on. A little bit more expensive than the other one, and probably around $3,100 is what it's going to cost, around $3,100. So maybe some churches like to write a $3,000 check and take care of that for 1 year. Amen. You say, well, preacher, that's a lot to ask. Well, you know, people dying going to hell. Is that really a lot to ask? Amen. Me and my wife, I told her the other day, I said, we got to put our money where our mouth is. We got to give to it too. And we like to give. I love to give. The Bible said the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And I've never given anything that God didn't give it back to me. I remember years ago when our ministry first started, God laid on my heart to give $1,000. Man, that's a lot of money. I gave that in 2 weeks' time. Somebody wrote a $10,000 check to our ministry. Now, I just want to give you the address. If you're making the check, make it to GBI. And on the memo line, if you want to put Reaching America, we'll know what that's talking about. All right, you can do the, we're asking $10 a month, 1,000 people at $10 a month. And I don't know, you might ask me, well, how many have you had? We've probably had 20, 30, 40 people, but some have given more money than that. And we've not had as much response as maybe I would like to have seen. I'd love to have seen it been, you know, 500 people by now. But we've not had that kind of response, but we have had a good response. And it's hard to calculate because some give more and some give, you know, less. Well, I don't think anybody's give less, but some give more. But anyway, here's the mailing address. Just make a check to GBI, and then GBI, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. If you have any questions, call our office. They'll be glad to answer any question you've got about Reaching America. All right? For a full listing of the stations we're on, go to our website. We'll continue our message now today on intercessory prayer. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Verse number 27. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. Verse 29, and he spake unto him yet again, and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. Genesis 18, verse number 30. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak, peradventure, there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not do it, for I will not destroy it for 20's sake. Verse number 32. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. In other words, it's the last time I'm going to speak. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Now, you know what Abraham knew? He had 10 people that were relatives in that city. Now, here's the deal. Because Abraham prayed that prayer, Yes, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, but Lot and his family had the chance to leave. God opened the door for them, a type of the rapture of the church. Now let me say this to you. I believe because that man prayed, I believe because that man got a hold of God, that God lessened the judgment upon Lot and his family. Let me say this to you. The reason God has not already judged America for her sins, you think about the sins that are in America. You think about homosexuality. You think about people nowadays don't know if they're a boy, don't know if they're a girl. Amen? And it's perversion. It's wickedness of the devil. Now you think about alcohol. Think about what it's doing to our nation. Think about drugs and alcohol. And drugs have been pouring into our nation. People's making all kinds of money on it. And it's killing society. Now think about that. Think about the perverted sex in our country. Think about the rapes, the murders, pornography. I mean, stuff that goes on in people's own homes and things. And I mean, think about all the perversion that's in our country. The cussing. I mean, even our leaders now can't have a speech without saying a cuss word. I mean, brother, it's sad. It's sad. You can't watch a sporting event without them cussing in the middle of it, or a commercial or whatever. They think it's cute. They think it's big. Now, here's the deal. Why has God not destroyed America? Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Listen to me. Because there have been some men down through the years, like Percy Ray, Sammy Allen, Jack Hiles, and men like that, that have prayed for old America. Now, I want to ask you a question. Those men are in heaven. And in the last 5 or 6 years, God's called some of the greatest prayer warriors home. Who is replacing these men in intercessory prayer for our nation? Who is it? Now, it may be some widow woman out there. It may be some fella out there. It may be some young person. Maybe some preacher. I don't know who you are. You may be in the hills and hollers somewhere. Maybe nobody knows you're praying. But God's calling His prayer warriors home. And as people fail to pray for America, it's going to get worse and worse and worse and set up for the Antichrist. Of course, the church is going to be raptured out of here. But let me give you this. Now, I believe in the coming of the Lord. And I believe the Lord's coming soon. And I believe, of course, it's nearer than it's ever been, right? I've been saved 48 years. It's a whole lot nearer than it was when I got saved. But let me say something. I want to ask you a question. What if the Lord don't come for the next 25 years? Now, listen to me. Look at your little grandchild, 3 years old. Look at your child, 3, 4 year old. Look at them. In the next 25 years, they're going to be of age. They're going to be going to medical school. They're going to be going to law school. They're going to be learning how to be a scientist or a truck driver or a mechanic or a police officer. All right, now wait a minute. In the next 25 years, if we have no prayer warriors, if we have nobody interceding for America, what will our nation be? Will we be a third world country? Will we divide up in little states and little territories and shoot at each other? You say, preacher, that'll never happen. That's what some people are wanting right now. They're wanting that to happen. Let me ask you a question. Will we be under communism? The communists are not in Vietnam and China. The communists are right here in America. They're ready to take this country, and it's not like the communism of the 70s, but they're ready to try a social experiment right now that will fail in your country. They're right here. They're ready to do it right now. Amen. The social ideas of giving everything free. And let me tell you what's going to happen. Some charismatic leader is going to step forward. And he or she is going to promise the people a bunch of free stuff. And people are going to eat that up. They're going to go for it because you've got a generation that don't want to work. They've been spoiled. They don't have to work. And brother, when America turns that way, she's gone. And she won't recover from it. Now listen, you say, well, preacher, how in the world can we stop that? That's doom and gloom. Prayer. Interceding prayer. Interceding prayer. Do you pray? Do you pray for your governor? Do you pray for your lieutenant governor? Do you pray? You say, preacher, does it work? It sure does. It's untelling what God would do if we'd get a hold of God and intercede for this nation. Amen? And I love the country. Don't you love our country? I love our nation. I grew up in the time when you was happy to wave that flag and be a patriot. Amen? And I believe we'll do that again. So interceding prayer for our country. Now, number two, let me move on. That's not the only place. Now remember what Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed for thee. Jesus prayed. But now if God prays for us, how much more should we pray for each other? Interceding prayer. Amen. Now, number two, not only for our country, but I think we ought to have some interceding prayer from our churches. I think our churches ought to be involved in interceding prayer. Now, every week at our church, and I guess at your church, we have prayer requests. And we mention sick folk, and we mention people. But let me ask you, how many people are you really praying for? You know, don't go to somebody, and I don't want to say this nicely, but don't go to somebody and say, I'm praying for you, and never pray for them. You know, that's a term that's widely used. You know, you'll hear people and they'll text you on social media, and they go, prayers. I've had people text me that, prayers. Now, wait a minute. You're texting that, but I'm asking a question. Do you really pray? If I ever text you, and I text a fellow yesterday and his wife, they're going through some sickness right now and some sorrow, and they're going through some sickness, and the Lord told me yesterday and pressed on my heart, said, you text that couple and tell them you're praying for them, and I did, and it so uplifted that dear brother. And let me say this to you, that's the way it ought to be. I want to be real in my praying. I want to intercede for people, amen? And we as a church, now there are times that you need to pray for on your own. There are times you need to pray on your own. But there are times you need the church's prayers. There are times I've had to go to the church and I've said, would you pray for me? We were getting, last year, we were trying to put a new radio station on the air. And brother, I'll tell you, the devil came against us. And I went to our Sunday school class several different Sundays. And maybe not several, but some Sundays. I don't know how many. And I said, will you pray about this project? I had people praying about it. And God helped us, and God got that thing on there. And let me say this to you. Interceding prayer helps. You remember, there's a story in the Bible. Herod rose up, and boy, he killed James of the sword and thought he had done a real good job of it. And he captured Peter. He was going to kill him after Easter. And the Lord, remember, sent the angel of the Lord, I believe it was Jesus Christ himself, came in there and loosed Peter's chains and let him out. But I want to show you. And I want to begin reading in Acts chapter number 12, verse number 1. Let me just read the story to you, and I want you to listen to this. The Bible said, now, about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He thought he'd go against the church. He was a big man. All right. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. All right. He killed James with the sword. That's the apostle James. All right. Now, verse number 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded farther to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. The Bible said in verse number 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers. The Bible said to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Well, of course, they would have killed him. All right. That's the intent. Looks kind of bad for old Peter, don't it? Peter, an apostle. Now, there's only one thing about that. Do you know why Peter laid down between those soldiers and went to sleep? Now, let me tell you why. Because in the book of John, the Lord had already told Peter how he was going to die. And Peter knew that the form of the Jews was stoning or with a sword. At that time, Herod killed with a sword. So, but he knew he wasn't going to die by stoning, and he knew he wasn't going to die by the sword. He knew he wasn't going to die either way, because Jesus already told him he's going to be crucified. That's why he could lay down and go to sleep. And that wasn't the way he was going to die. All right, let me go on. Let me show you now. Verse number 5, the Bible said, Peter therefore was kept in prison. But, I like this but right here, don't you? Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I mean, the church got behind this with interceding prayer. The church said, hey, we got a need. We got to pray about it. Now, I'll tell you something. It's time. Well, friend, I come to the end of the radio broadcast today. I want to thank you for listening. I mean that. I get so much response from our listeners. People say, preacher, we're listening on the radio. And I've had a couple of preachers lately really give me a good comment and said, you know, told me, said, you know, that the message is a help. And I appreciate that. I want to be on these stations to help you. The Lord knows, Brother Ricky, don't want to hurt anybody. He wants to help you live a better life in Jesus. And then if you're not saved, I want you to come to know the Lord. Amen. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together. All the time, he who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.